The wilderness brings you to a place where your faith cannot be domesticated. It can't be tamed. I don't know about you. I like watching shows that have to do with the wilderness. I would like to believe that I could survive the wilderness. I'm not saying I could. I'm just saying I like watching it because I put myself in there and I think, I could do that. I could survive. See, when I watch the shows, it's not about just watching the wilderness. It's about watching how people survive in the wilderness, just what they have to go through in order to make it out alive. I mean, there's some people that they will go and maybe they'll plan a short-term trip for the purpose of hunting. But then there's other people that they want to live off the grid and they choose to move there and to function and to live there. It's totally different. And it's totally, I mean, when you watch these shows, especially when you watch people in Alaska, you think, how in the world do they make it through that kind of environment? Not just like, I tell the boys, could you do that? And they're like, yeah, we could do that. That'd be so great. And it'd be so much fun for like a month. And then after a month, it's not fun anymore. I don't know about you, but I mean, after a month, I'm like, I like some Wi-Fi and maybe a hazelnut latte. That'd be really nice. And you don't find that there in wilderness. The wilderness is this environment that removes us from what is familiar and places us in a place of uncertainty. We don't know what to expect next because we've never been there before. And I don't know if you've ever been in a wilderness situation where you found yourself in a time of uncertainty, because the wilderness doesn't have to be a forest. It can be a season of our lives, a time of our lives, when we don't know why we are where we are. We don't understand what's happening and why it's happening. We don't know what to expect next because it seems as though we're in an unknown place. That maybe it's your prayers have never been answered, or your prayers are not being answered. Maybe you feel like God is a million miles away. Or maybe it's a time when your employment is lacking, or maybe business is not what it used to be, and you just find yourself in this place where everything seems to be uncertain. Those are scary times. Those are scary places. I had finished college, and I grew up in L.A., moved back to L.A. after school, and I was sick. I hated L.A. I just hated it. Now, I'm not saying that. If you've ever been there, you understand the traffic and all that kind of stuff, and I wanted to get out of L.A., so I had a friend, and he lived in Memphis, Tennessee, and I said, told him that I was going to move there. He said, that's cool. Come on. So I had one friend. I pack like a little amount of cash in my Volkswagen Karmagia, and yes, I did fit. And here I go on this 2,000-mile trek and journey that I went cross-country to go move it to Memphis, Tennessee, and when I got there, my friend all of a sudden found a girlfriend. So now I don't have a friend anymore, right? You've been in that kind of situation. A person that says, hey, we're going to have so much fun. It's going to be great. And then you come out there and they're like, you know what? Things have changed. I don't have time. When I moved out there, I was able to get a job, though it was a hostile environment. It wasn't the best job. I found an apartment, but I had no furniture. Kind of like James is right now. James has no furniture. So if you have extras, you can talk to him. I had no family for emotional support, and there I was, and I found myself in this place with little funds, little food, no friends, no furniture, and no family, and I just felt like I was in the wilderness, though I was in the city. The time in my life that I thought was going to be so great tended to put me in an environment where I was completely isolated and alone. That time in my life, I tell people, was one of the most difficult times in my life. And I also follow it with, it was the absolute best time of my life. So when we have a series that says, Welcome to the Wilderness, you might look at a wilderness as being an unsafe place. It has potential to be something great in your life if you allow it. That's the thing about the wilderness. The benefits, you can write this in on your notes if you want to, the benefits of the wilderness rely upon our actions in the wilderness. So when you find yourself in this uncharted area, this place where there's a lot of unknowns, you don't know what's coming, your actions during that time are crucial and important for what you get out of the wilderness experience. All through the Bible, God has used the wilderness to transform people's lives. The wilderness has a tendency to force us to do things differently. It has a tendency to put us in a place where we would do things that we would not normally do if we were in a place that we are comfortable or a place that is pleasant. And in other words, in your normal life, you will not do the things that are necessary that the wilderness requires you to do. And again, I'm not talking about a forest. I'm talking about a time of difficulty. I'm talking about a time of uncertainty in your life. The only way to get out of that is to do something different. In order to get the best results of that time, we have to do something different. In the wilderness, Joseph discovered that God is greater than people's plots against us. But listen, Joseph would have never learned that had he not found himself in the wilderness, because people's plots were to destroy him. And in that environment, in that wilderness environment, God showed him that he is greater than people's plots. It's where Moses learned that confidence comes from God, not our own abilities. The wilderness is where David was prepared for something great as a king. The wilderness is where Jesus was forced to face temptation and overcome it. See, the wilderness is a very important part of our lives. We don't like it, but it's very important. You might even be walking through a time right now of the wilderness where you don't know what's going on. You're facing challenges in your life that require you to trust God with every step that you take. And I would say, welcome to the wilderness. This is a great time in your life, if you'll allow it to be. Here's the thing about the wilderness. The wilderness has a bad reputation, but great results. A bad reputation. It's not pleasant. It's not fun. It's not like, hey man, you are really going to enjoy this time of your life, this season of being in the wilderness. You're not going to enjoy it. That's the bad reputation. But it has great results because it allows us to get closer to God, as we'll look at. Another thing about the wilderness is the wilderness can be lonely, but it's not absent from God. And we've got to remember that. Because in times of uncertainty, because in times when we find ourselves in new environments, it's very easy for us to think that God doesn't care or that God's not with us. The problem is, as soon as we buy into that lie, that God doesn't care, that God's not with us, one of the things that happens is we start losing out on the benefits that God has for us in the wilderness. So we'll look at that in a little bit. Remember, Hebrews 13:5 tells us where God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's got to be a core, fundamental, no matter what you feel in your life, no matter what's going on, that has got to be a core that is not based on our feelings or our emotions. It's based on fact and it's based on God's word. If God says, hey, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. If God says that, you can absolutely take that to the bank regardless of what's going on in your life. Absolutely. One of the things that the wilderness teaches us is courage, and that's what we're looking at today. The definition of courage is the ability to do something that frightens us or strength that we need in times of adversity. This is not a political statement I'm making, but I thought of this when Trump was speaking this last week. And I'm sitting there watching the difficulty that it would require to get up and to give a speech in front of people that absolutely hate you and want to see you see the very worst. They don't want to see you succeed. To stand up and to give a speech of a promising future in his eyes in the face of people that absolutely want to see your demise. They want to see you go down. That's a courageous individual. Courage is not being fearless, but having the strength to go on in spite of our fears. Proverbs 28:1 says this, the wicked flee when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as a lion. In other words, God does make a difference in our lives. And in belonging to God, it increases our courage. Belonging to God and having a relationship with God increases our courage. Remember 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power and of love and self-control. And here's a note I want to make sure you understand. I'm not saying that you have to be a Christ follower in order to have courage. There's plenty of people on Facebook that pull people out of burning cars that are not Christians, maybe. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to have courage, or that only Christians, only Christ followers have courage. But here's what I am saying. To follow Christ, to live the life that God has for you personally, will require courage. It will. There's going to come a point when courage is asked of you. And we have to be in a place where we're willing to respond in a courageous way. How God uses the wilderness to develop courage. First of all, the wilderness forces us to face our fears. I don't know if you've ever been in a wilderness environment, in a forest. I think, you know, I honestly think I could make it. The difficulty I would have is the nighttime, because that's when I get freaked out, because at night, you can't see the dangers that are there. You don't, there's this apprehension because you hear noises that you can't identify, and there's a bit of uncertainty in that. And whenever you find yourself in a season of life where you're in the wilderness, one of the things that happens is you are forced to face the fears of your life. Now, most of us don't like to do that. We like to ignore them. But listen, if you're ever going to become courageous, that's one of the first steps that we have to take. Another thing that God uses to develop courage in us is the wilderness magnifies our need. We are made extremely aware of the need that we have, whether it's for safety or for peace or for shelter or whatever it might be. The wilderness magnifies our need for something great in our lives. I like Proverbs 20:30 that tells us this. Sometimes it takes painful experiences to make us change our ways. And that is exactly what the wilderness does, is it provides an uncomfortable environment that forces us to change our ways, which is always a good thing. Another way that God uses the wilderness to develop courage is wilderness then can turn us to God. I say it can turn us to God because it doesn't always turn us to God, because really it requires us to turn to God. God's not going to force you to turn to Him, but in the time of wilderness, when things are out of control and uncertain, we are much more prone to turn to God for help. I know that I can say this. In my time in the wilderness when I was there in Memphis, it was one of the best times of my life because I didn't have anybody. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any connections. And I didn't have a TV. I didn't have a mattress. I didn't have jack squat. Okay, so I'm there, and I remember the magnification of my need that I had. As I started facing uncertainties and my fears, the need became greater and greater, and I knew I had to do something. I could have turned many different directions. I started really seeking God out, and I started reading the Bible, and I started praying. And I can tell you, to this day, I have never had a time where I was felt more close to God. I have never had a time in my life where I was so in touch with God during that time in my life. Because the wilderness can turn us to God. That is a great thing. If you know the story, as I said, God has used wilderness throughout the scriptures to be a part of transforming people's lives. And if you know the scriptures, you know that one of the more popular wilderness stories was a group of people, God's people, Israel. And God had freed his people from Egypt. They were slaves, and God freed them. He had led them through the desert wilderness, and they spent way too long there, 40 years there. Actually, the trip that they took should have only taken them a week. And God led them in the wilderness for 40 years. Because in that wilderness experience, God was trying to teach them something. As they were there, on their way to this promised land, the people had seen God do many miracles. He fed them, he kept their shoes from wearing out, he led them by a cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire by nighttime. He protected them, and yet they still complained. And we pick up the text right before they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River into this promised land that God is showing them. And God is talking to Moses, and here's what Scripture says. It's found in Numbers 13. The Lord now said to Moses, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land that I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness. They did just as they were told. They assessed the cities that God told them to look at. They assessed the land, and they assessed the people, and they come back with a report. I don't know about you, but our report says a lot about our trust in God. How we report what we encounter says a lot about who we know God to be. And consequently, it gets reflected in the amount of courage or the lack of courage that we have. So what they did is they listed the positive and the negatives, and here was what they said. They said, this was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, the land flowing with milk and honey, and here's the kind of fruit that it produces. And they brought back these giant grapes, okay, huge grapes, brought them back so they could see it. And then they go on, they say this, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Now, I know, I don't think that's where I came from, all right? But I'm just telling you, there were giants in this land, and it scared them to death. They looked at the people as being bigger than them and stronger than them. But what happened is they embraced the negatives because of how they viewed God. Remember, they've complained all along, and God has been patient with them, and he's tried to help them, and he's tried to show himself faithful so that they would understand what God's purpose was in this, and they kept complaining. They never fully or really believed that God was looking out for them. Never. And because of that, 10 of these 12 tribal leaders really didn't trust God. They really didn't see this as a great opportunity. In fact, what they saw was it was a great land, but the challenge was too big. And the byproduct of not trusting God are a few things. First of all, it's fear. I mean, when you don't trust God, fear is the result. Fear is what you're left. This is, you deal with the situation through fear, just like they did. Here's what it says. But the other men who had explored the land with them disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. And you hear this. We can't. We can't do that. That's a fear-based statement. They're bigger than us. It's a fear-based. They're stronger than us. You can hear, we can't afford that. Those are all fear-based issues, how we tend to respond when we don't trust God. Another byproduct is despair. It says, when the whole community began weeping aloud and they cried all night, because when you don't trust God, there is no hope. When you don't believe that God really has the best in store for you, there is no hope, and it only leads to despair. Another byproduct of not trusting God is complaining. We're all pretty good at that, aren't we? It goes on, it says, their voices rose in a great chorus of complaint against Moses and Aaron. It's always against the leaders. And we wish that we had died in Egypt, is what they said, or even here in the wilderness. So in other words, we wish that we were dead rather than following you. We need to find, I mean, that whatever it is, it's like complaining becomes just a natural byproduct of not trusting God. When we don't trust God, we're not happy with what God is doing in our lives. That becomes the bottom line. And not trusting God also results in rebellion. Another scripture that says that they plotted among themselves, let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Let's choose somebody else. God set aside this individual, but we're going to choose somebody else, and we're going to go in a different direction. God wanted to free them and brought them out of Egypt. They're choosing another leader, and they're going back in the opposite direction. And that is a rebellion. And listen, this is a byproduct of not trusting God, even though God has been so good and faithful to them all along. However, not all the spies saw it this way. There were two that saw it differently, Joshua and Caleb. And here's the difference that courage makes. First of all, that they believed if it was God's idea, it was possible. And not only was it possible, but they also had the courage to trust God and to take the steps that God asked them to take. So their courage was willing to be different from everyone else. And that's one of the markings, if you would, of what courage allows us to be. It allows us to be different from the people around us. While everybody else is saying, we can't do this, it says in Numbers 13, but Caleb tried to encourage the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take this land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. How does one man, or in this story, two men, Joshua and Caleb, how do they see something? They both experience the same thing as everybody else, and they see it totally different. See, that's what faith in God does. It allows us to, it changes our perspective. Their courage also, the difference was, it was focused on what God can do. While everybody else was focused on what God couldn't do or what they couldn't do, they chose to be focused on what God could do. I'm not talking about a self-confidence, but it's more about knowing what God can and is capable of doing and knowing that God is good and trusting that God is good and that he will come through. Caleb said this, "And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us." Another part, their courage was sure of God's presence. Not just that what God could do, these guys were sure that God was with them. In fact, that's what it says. Caleb says, hey, listen, they have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. It doesn't matter if they're giants. It doesn't matter if their cities are fortified with walls. It doesn't matter how daunting it looks. If God is with us, we have nothing to be afraid of. And it's amazing how all of us need courage in our lives. Every single one of us. It's amazing how God can change our perspective and give us a different attitude and ultimately bring rewards into our lives for trusting him. Because Joshua and Caleb were the only leaders that were allowed into the promised land and everybody else died off. And the reason is because they would not trust God. The perspective and the courage that Joshua and Caleb had, God honored and rewarded that. It's the same today. This morning, right now, God has done a work that none of us could do, and he gave us his son to save us. And yet, there's so many people that say, oh, I can't give my life to Christ. I can't trust God. Maybe what I need to do is earn my way to heaven, or maybe I need to work my way to heaven. And none of that works. It's actually a way that we are not trusting God. Maybe you look at your life, and maybe you kind of watch and you say, you know what, I don't have the hope that I used to have. God has done all the work in providing for us salvation through his son Jesus, and all he asks is for us to trust him. And do we have the courage to put our trust in Jesus himself and what he's done for us on the cross, regardless of what other people say, regardless of what other people do? And because of his death and resurrection, his spirit is now present with us. Listen, when I say that, here's what I'm saying. You have nothing to be afraid of. When God is leading you, when God is guiding you, you have nothing to be afraid of because God is present. And that was the thing that changed Joshua and Caleb's perspective, is knowing that God was present, regardless of what they saw. So you might be here this morning and you might be discouraged, or you might be focused on something that's going on in your life that's out of control. Maybe this is a wilderness experience for you. We've got to be in touch with the fact that God is present, because when God is present, God is going to take care of every need that we have. God is always going to come through and do what he says he will do. It's not until we realize how reliable God is, it's not until we realize how close Christ is and what he can do in our lives, that we find ourselves in the wilderness and that becomes the option that we seek out. And this morning you might be here and you might be in the wilderness, and you might need courage. Maybe, because I'll tell you, it takes courage to give your life to God, to surrender yourself to God. There's a part of us that says, you know what? I want to surrender, I just don't know if I can. And there's a courage that is required that causes us to step out and to say, listen, I'm going to respond to God on this. And maybe you've never surrendered your life to God. Maybe you've never begun that relationship. And this would be a great day to do that. Because the life that God has for you, the joy that God has, and the peace that God has to come out of relationship. And maybe you're here this morning and you just lack courage. Maybe things have gotten out of whack, and maybe things are so uncertain that you find yourself living in fear. Or maybe you have despair and no hope. Or maybe you're just a complainer. And you're never happy with what God is doing or has done in your life or can do. You always tend to look at the negative. Maybe it's even led you down rebellion and following others, not God. Listen, I know that God's speaking to you. I know that right now God is speaking and whispering into your heart about your circumstances and your life. We're only here to join with that voice, to join with God and what he's leading you to do. And we're going to be up here and make ourselves available to pray with you. If you need to begin a relationship, or maybe you just need, maybe you have a relationship, but you're still living in fear, or you're living in despair, we want to make ourselves available to pray with you. So the band and myself will be down here waiting for you after the gathering. Please feel free to come up so we can pray with you. For the rest of you, I just want to dismiss us in prayer if we can. Father, I thank you for each person that is here, and I know that not one is here by accident. And I know that you are speaking into the hearts and lives of people this morning who are struggling with this issue of they've never really lived with courage. They've never lived with the opportunity of trusting you with every step. And then when they find themselves in uncertain times, Father, that they know for certain that you are reliable and you are good and you are trustworthy. And that changes how that we live. It allows us to live with a courage, not in ourselves, but a courage in you. Father, I thank you for every person that is here. I know you have great things in store for them, and I ask that you would bless them and allow them as they walk through the wilderness experiences in their lives. Father, may it turn them to you. And may we find you to be our hope and our strength.